In 2 weeks, my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, is getting married here at St. Paul's, and she and Danny met at UNC Greensboro. And so the last few months and weeks have been kind of heading towards that day. And I know the next couple of weeks are probably going to be pretty hectic, too, and filled as we prepare for this this joyous time in our family. So Elizabeth's getting married on November 3rd, and November 3rd is also the anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. And wasn't planned that way. We looked at the calendar, and November 3rd looked like a good day for Elizabeth and Danny to be married, but it's also the anniversary of my ordination, which this will be my 33rd anniversary. I've been a priest for 33 years. So this will be a special day for Elizabeth and I as we go forward. We'll remember these days, certainly in some way, as we go forward. And I'll remind Danny, too, you know, when it comes time. But every year around this time, I get kind of reflective about my ordination. I'm not sure if all clergy do that. I know I do. It's something I do kind of often my own kind of prayer time, and just reflecting over these 33 years and all that God has kind of led me through in ministry, some growing times, challenging times, joy-filled times, just all the different times together that have kind of called me forth. And I celebrate that. Looking back, though, I was ordained in 1979. There was a custom when I was ordained that you'd be ordained on one day and then the next day celebrate the Eucharist for the first time in your home parish. I was ordained on a Saturday at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, and then the next day celebrated the Eucharist in my home parish of Holy Innocents in Pleasantville, New York. And it was also a custom to invite a priest to preach at that first celebration of the Eucharist. And so I asked a priest from that parish, Father Sam, who's known as Father Sam Matarazzo, to preach. He is a priest in the Dominican order. You know, there's Franciscans, there's Benedictines, and he was in the Dominican order. And he was, and really to this day, was the best preacher I ever knew. Best preacher I ever knew. His way of preaching, his style of preaching. He taught me more about preaching just from witnessing his preaching than I learned from any seminary professors. I had wonderful seminary professors and wonderful homiletic seminary professors. But I learned more from this priest than probably anybody else. He's had the greatest influence on me. And he was known for... First of all, everyone wanted to hear him preach. He preached for no more than 5 minutes ever. That makes you pretty popular right off the bat. You know, that's kind of, so you already have a good audience. But that's not the reason. He had this way of packing that time with just an incredible message that it would invite you to really reflect on your own life. And he just had this wonderful way. And I've tried to, you know, in some ways, I know I don't preach for 5 minutes, but I've really tried to shape some of my ministry. Never used notes, worked on his homily just by living his week before, and things would come to his mind that were shaped by the readings that he was preparing for. So that day that he preached at my first celebration of the Eucharist, he shared a story that I'd like to share with you this morning. It's a story that was told 33 years ago, and it was told about a time that was probably some time before that. So it came from a different time and perhaps culture in the church, but I think what the story is trying to say is powerful. It's simple. It's very simple, but very profound, I think. The story goes something like this. In a little mud hut on an island in a country that doesn't even exist anymore, a priest, who was a missionary, was writing a letter to his community back in the United States. And the letter was saying something like, "I regret to inform you that after 3 years of ministry on this island, 3 years of my life being given here, I have not had one baptism. Not one person has come forth to say they believe in this Jesus. It seems that after 3 years of ministry, I can't seem to preach or teach in a way that people can know of this Jesus, that someone could be that loving, that giving, that caring, that healing, that forgiving. I just haven't been able to convince anybody that anyone like that ever lived or could live. So I'm requesting that I be able to return to the United States and we close this mission. A couple weeks later, he received a letter back before the days of the internet. And the letter said to him, in the language of that time, "Your request is denied." But here's what we'd like to invite you to do. We invite you to consider in your ministry that in order for people to know and understand that someone like Jesus ever lived, that someone that giving, that loving, that caring, that healing, that forgiving, to believe that someone like that ever existed, we invite you to be that loving and that caring and that giving and that healing and that forgiving. You be that in the midst of that community. Only then will people come to know that someone like that could have ever existed, perhaps can even exist in our own relationships with each other. It's a simple message. And I think Father Sam that day was directing that message at me as I began my ministry. I remember saying in his homily, "George, you be that as you go forth in your ministry. Invite yourself to be that loving and that giving and that caring, and try to be about healing and forgiving of people." And I remember turning to the community that day and saying, "And all of us are called to this together as a baptized people, as we go forth in ministry." Never forget that story. And I've continually tried to live into that in my own ministry. You know, it's a challenge to live like that. To, in a sense, it may sound egotistical, but to be Jesus. All of us are invited to be that. We're all invited to be that through our baptism. I remember that story. It's kind of come back to me because I read this gospel reading this morning that we just read. If you listen to that gospel reading, you got to admit, if you listen to it closely, there's a little of James and John in all of us. You know, they're kind of, James and John are going to Jesus. They see Jesus, the Jesus at least they think they know, and they have a sense that this Jesus is headed for something big. You know, and they're saying to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, you know, when you come into your glory..." James, two of us, James and John, one on one side, one on the other. "We're with you, buddy. We're with you in this, you know. We want to be a part of that power, too. We want to be part of that influence, too. We want to be with you in this." Seems it also got the other 10 disciples pretty ticked off. They were kind of pulling Jesus aside. And Jesus turns to them and kind of challenges their vision. They had their vision of what this is going to look like. And this vision fed their own egos, their own needs. And they wanted Jesus to fulfill those needs. But Jesus says something quite different to them. He says, "To sit at my right or my left is not mine to give. But are you willing to drink the cup that I drink? Are you willing to be baptized into the baptism that I am to be baptized into?" And they say, "Sure." Maybe not fully understanding what that was about. You know, the word baptism is taken very closely to the Greek word for baptism. There's almost no translation, but the word baptism means to be plunged, to be dunked, to be immersed. What Jesus is saying to them, are you in your life, Are you willing to be plunged into this life that I live? Are you willing to be dunked into and be immersed? Are you willing to let go of this life for this life? That's really the challenge. Jesus is challenging his disciples to a whole different understanding of leadership. He's challenging them to a whole new understanding of their faith journey. He's calling them to be servants to one another. Not to search for the power, not to search for this influence, but to live as Jesus lived. to love, to care, to give of oneself, to reach out for healing and forgiveness. That's what it means to follow me, Jesus is basically saying. And can you live into that? Can you let go of this vision that you have and live into the vision that I have for you and for this world and for all of creation? So as we gather together today, as we walk through our visioning process here at St. Paul's, as we kind of reflect on our moving forward, let us not be like James and John and try to kind of figure out, what's my vision? What is it's going to satisfy my needs? But what is God calling us to? What is God calling us to plunge ourselves into? What is God calling us to immerse ourselves in as we go forward continually as a community? This parish has lived a wonderful vision over the years, and every so often it's of great value to pull apart, as Jesus did throughout his ministry. Jesus would pull apart to the desert to reflect on what has been and then to look at where he's being called. In a sense, that's what we're doing in this visioning process. We've lived into a vision over the years, and now we're looking, where's God calling us now, together, as we join together in ministry? Where is that vision? Where is God calling us to? And so as we engage over the next couple of weeks in this survey you'll be receiving in the mail, it'll be on the website, it'll be available in the Narthex, let us, when we sit down to look at that, ask ourselves, what is God's vision for us at St. Paul's? What can I plunge myself into? What can I immerse myself into to become the true self that Jesus sees in me? Not just my ego self or my needs, but what's that true self that Jesus is drawing out? And what's that true self that St. Paul's is called to be as we go forth living into this dream and this vision? So as Father Sam said to me almost 33 years ago, I share that with you today. May we be that loving, that caring, that giving, that healing, that forgiving, certainly one to another, so that others may know that Jesus lives, and that we may be sent forth into the world, not just holding on to that faith and belief ourselves, not holding on to that vision ourselves, but going forth into the world with a vision that transforms all of creation and transforms our world. Let us go forth as a faithful people, not waiting for the congregation to gather here, but to go forth where the congregation is in the world and joining in the presence of God with them and bringing about this transformation. Let us pray this day that we may be that Christ to each other, that Jesus to each other, and as a people go forth to transform the world.